Welcome to Going Rogue, the podcast for clear-eyed rebels and utopia preppers. I'm here, as always, with the rogue journalist, Caitlin Johnston. I'm Caitlin's worst half, Tim Foley. How's it going, Caitlin?
G'day, Tim.
We're still here.
Yeah, 24 hours and still here.
No nuclear war, no World War III. We're ticking along still.
We're still here.
So Trump says that he, within 24 to 48 hours, he's going to have a decision as to whether to start World War III.
Yeah.
So, that's great. It's just...
I'm really glad that, you know, that's up to Donald Trump,
too. Donald Trump and, well, don't forget, there's John Bolton as well.
Oh, John Bolton.
And Mike Pompeo, come on.
Yeah, yeah, that's steady hand.
He's got some, adults in the... Fuck! Oh, man. Yeah, who knows? who fucking knows?
Meanwhile, the rest of the world doesn't seem to give a shit at all. Was watching the news today on Australian TV.
It's not even like...
Not even a blip. They talked about Skripal, like, about releasing the Yulia. She came out of hospital. They didn't mention Russia, actually, though, in that story. That was interesting to me.
Well, they fucking can't now. They kind of blew that one.
Right. But they still, they've got her in protective custody. Why?
Yeah, well, who knows? I mean...
I think that's actually just, they've jailed her, like...
Don't talk to anyone.
Yeah, well...
We'll let you out after we get our war.
Yeah, or we've brainwashed you or whatever.
I don't know.
They've got tricks up their sleeve.
Yeah. So everyone is saying that Trump is a wimp. That Trump needs to... He's an absolute wimp if he does not attack Syria and remove Assad. It's total bipartisan howling.
Well, I love that when we go to a known narcissist who probably does have, like, a small hand complex into... scaling up into World War III. That's really wise.
What could go wrong?
Yeah,
literally everything.
Yeah, I'm so pleased that people, you know, have taken the time and energy to stand on that side of the debate.
On the Bill Kristol side of the debate.
Yeah, so many of my liberal friends are just standing over there with their fucking nasty woman t-shirts and their pussy hats with Bill Kristol.
Saying nuke Syria because it will piss off Putin, which will hurt Trump.
I just, look, you know, this is very frustrating, Timothy.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Anyway, so right.
Well, we've got some cool things have happened. There've been some interesting voices kind of came out of nowhere and
yeah, Tucker Carlson has like got this amazing. He did an amazing bit the other day.
Amazing monologue. That's like, you know, I'm an American. I do not think that I have ever seen anything on American television that significant.
Yeah. Well, when I tweeted it out, there were people saying, wow, I haven't disagreed with one thing yet. Like, it was so full of truth. He just said the true things. All the true things. He just stayed one after the other, one true thing. Not even, there was no twisting of it or anything.
Right, no, on Fox. We're watching Fox News, and it's just all unvarnished, total truth.
Yeah.
And, like, not typical Fox News talking points either. He didn't twist it around to make it into a refugee issue even really. He talked about Yemen.
Right.
He talked about why is the US helping. He called out Saudi fucking Arabia.
Yeah.
On Fox News and how why is America helping Saudi Arabia destroy Yemen? This happened on mainstream media, and not just on mainstream media, on Fox fucking News.
On Rupert Murdoch's station.
Yeah. If they're really hell-bent on Syria, and it looks like they are, it'll be really something if he doesn't get the Phil Donahue treatment.
Yeah, the boot. That's what I wonder. Mr. Carlson, there's a call on line 3 for you. It's Rupert.
So, yeah. Gosh.
When my dad used to work back at the Sun, that was...
That was the ominous phone call?
Yeah, if Rupert was on the phone.
Rupert's on the phone. Oh, no.
You're in deep shit.
Oh. So. Yeah, but it was phenomenal. Just point after point after point after point, breaking down the entire argument and showing what bullshit it is and how there's, you know, absolutely no evidence for the narrative being advanced as to why we are all supposed to dive headfirst into this war in a country that is filled with not just Syrian forces, but Russian and Iranian forces as well.
Mm-hmm.
And why we should start blowing stuff up willy-nilly. He broke apart that entire narrative, and then he went into, like, even if he did guess civilians, is it worth World War III? Is it worth it? Is it worth what it would the potential human cost and what that would mean? Really, really solid and fantastic. And yeah, it was great seeing all your lefty followers just light up. Like, holy shit.
Yeah.
I can't believe I'm watching this. I can't believe I'm watching Fox News and not barfing. Or
watching any fucking cable network right now. Like, any cable network, you'd be so pleased. If that was on MSNBC, oh my God, I'd be so happy. I'd be so happy. Yeah. Just if that was Chris Hayes, I would even just say, all right, maybe you're not such a bad bloke, Chris.
Right. Well, you're not going to. Like Truth Dig said, MSNBC has replaced Fox as the bigger new warmongering news network.
Right, yeah. Yeah, the cardigan-wearing warmongering network.
Yeah, the ones who can explain in very educated language why we should start World War III.
Right, and why it's problematic not to. God. That's NPR, too. They're worse.
Oh, such scumbags. And fucking The Guardian. Oh, my God.
The Guardian. Yeah.
All the shit they've been... Yeah, you tweeted about that one article. It's just,
yeah.
Ugh.
It's so revolting. And, like, yeah.
And that's not the only one. They've got other shit out there. And fucking George Monbiot has... I don't know if you knew this. He's got cancer now. And he's going through cancer treatment, but you know his ass would be all over it if he hadn't just had his prostate pulled out.
Oh.
Like, small favors.
Oh, God. I'm conflicted about that.
You know, he's still wrong. He's still wrong, and he's still an imperialist. I don't know, no matter how much cancer he's fighting.
Right, I know, but he wasn't wrong for a long time. What's going on? I don't understand. It's just like they flipped a switch.
No, I think he was always that. When Pilger, as Pilger said 3 years ago, there was a purge of anti-imperialists. And Monbiot played along, and the ones who didn't were purged.
Right. Well, I don't know. I feel so duped by those types, you know.
Mm.
I have been known to be a latte sipping Guardian reader myself at points.
Mm.
And that really, it just disgusts me and hurts my feelings when you go, oh my God, I thought you were one of the good ones.
And Tucker fucking Carlson is...
And when fucking Tucker Carlson! He's
standing all those people up. Standing up Greenwald!
Right.
When Tucker Carlson is more correct than Glenn fucking Greenwald. Jesus Christ. What's happening?
What world is this? All right, well, we should talk about Glenn Greenwald. Okay, right. I tore my poster off the wall.
She doesn't actually have a Glenn Greenwald poster.
Yes, I do. The one I kiss every night.
I don't think that's a thing.
Well, yeah, because... all right, so he went on Democracy Now, and it was a pretty poor showing for a man who is extremely good at saying exactly what he thinks.
Yeah. Yeah, for someone who's been so bang on about Russiagate for so long and stuff, it was very disappointing.
Yeah. But, So he basically, I'll read the quote. So obviously, the use of chemical weapons in any instance is horrific. True. It's a war crime. True. It's heinous. True. And it ought to be strongly condemned by everyone. Yes. I think that it's And then here's where it goes off the rails. The evidence is quite overwhelming that the perpetrators of this chemical weapons attack, as well as the previous ones, is the Assad government. Where'd you get that one from, Glenn?
Just overwhelming. Overwhelming.
Overwhelming. Overwhelming evidence. Overwhelming evidence.
In a country full of known Western-backed terrorists, heavily armed, heavily funded terrorists, literal terrorists, the evidence is overwhelming that it was not those terrorists.
And heavily funded by who? By the West.
Fucking, not just the West, fucking CIA, the worst of the West.
Right.
The most evil of the evil.
Yeah. So, although in war, he says, there are lots of reasons to doubt, and we certainly shouldn't run off and make hasty decisions until there's a real investigation to make the evidence available. So, okay, good, all true. Right. All at right. least true.
Thanks for bringing it back around. That's
yes,
good.
So definitely there should be an investigation. There should always be an investigation, like there was this time last year when the exact same thing happened. There was chemical weapons attack, and Mattis, General Mattis, said only recently he admitted that there was no evidence at all that the Syrian government had done that one. Yeah, so I don't know where you were, Glenn, when that came out, but
overwhelming evidence.
Overwhelming.
Had to be. It, there's no other possibility other than Assad doing this completely unreasonable thing for no strategic benefit that he stood nothing to gain from and everything to lose, in a region that is packed with known terrorists with a pro-Western, pro-NATO agenda.
You know, it was also a little disappointing for me because, you know, I've kind of fangirled about Glenn for the double G for a long time. Was it in this interview, he didn't actually seem to know a lot about what was going on. Like, he didn't really, he was kind of babbling a bit.
The whole Intercept crowd tends to avoid Syria like the plague.
Yeah.
And when they do, they come in saying, regurgitating fucking MSNBC talking points.
It didn't feel, you know how most of the time his commentary feels so rich with historical knowledge, with your background, with, you know, the main players. You get this sense that he has the landscape, you know, whirling in his gaze as he narrates what he's seeing.
I would not want to debate him about Russiagate.
No, not at all. But this felt superficial. Anyway, like, not just wrong, but also like, you haven't really followed this, have you?
Doofy. Yeah, and it's fucking, you know, the Intercept has published some ridiculous bullshit about Syria as well. Like, just not just, you know, anti-Assad stuff, but like, if you oppose interventionism, that makes you a Nazi bullshit.
Right, yeah. Yeah, of course. So, yeah, all right. So, yeah, I've been very forgiving of Glenn.
but also, at the same time, like you just tweeted, fucking, who are we to reject him? As long as he opposes interventionism, as he vocally and explicitly does in that same interview.
Yeah. And he absolutely does. There's more quotes here. Like, should I say?
Sure.
I think we have ought to have learned the lesson by now that when we cheer for military action by Western governments in the Middle East, because we've been emotionally manipulated to be angry about some genuinely horrific act, it doesn't end up doing anything other than make us feel good, and it usually ends up making the situation worse. So I think it's possible and necessary to express moral outrage, blah, blah. But, you know, you don't go in there blunt.
Don't back it up with fucking tomahawk missiles.
Right, as well. And, you know, that is a good point, right? Even if they had done it, it's fucking none of your business. And stop trying to create World War III over it. You fucking idiots, you're not even there. Like, it's illegal for you to be there. Like, anyway. And there's so much confusion around it and so much, like, it's just horrible. The whole thing is horrible. Just leave it alone. Yes, but back to the point about Glenn Greenwald. I mean, I would be a bit of an idiot if I was to say, all right, well, I'll join hands with, like, anti-establishment right people, but Glenn Greenwald, out of the room.
Right.
Get out.
Do these people realize who they're talking to?
Yeah.
But like, you've been attacked for the better part of a year, for almost a year now, for saying that you're willing to collaborate with fucking Cernovich. And those, that crowd, on issues like Syria.
Right.
but they're asking you to reject Glenn fucking Greenwald.
Yeah, see, I don't think they really know what I'm made of. Right. But anyway, so I do not reject Glenn. But you know, I certainly agree that was weird, Glenn. That was weird.
Yeah, come on, Glenn.
Yeah.
Overwhelming evidence. Do some journalism. Yes. Mr. Journalism.
Yeah. Anyway, so that Tucker, and that actually linked me. Like, I've got a little. Here's the header I was thinking for this story. Right. We'll talk about the story published just in a minute. But the left and right should shamelessly. Oh, here, you're gonna love this, right?
Oh, great, Caitlin. The heat just died down.
No. Hear me out. This will be great. You'll love it. You'll love it. The left and right should shamelessly oppose attacking Syria with one voice.
Oh, that's going to go swimmingly, I'm sure. Everyone's just going to love you for that.
No, come on. This is the time. Dude. Right? No, wow, look. Jesus.
I know, you're right. I know. I hate seeing what they do to you when you say the right thing.
I know. But, like, it's been a year now or whatever. Like, you know, and I can't have done this for nothing. This is exactly the reason why I said those things. Because I really want this to happen. I really want us to be able to collaborate on issues of convergence. And that is this right now. We're facing World War III. Just fucking put down your snobbish, like, just put all that shit down and let's just close the door on this war, please. And then go back to your little tribes. Whatever. That's fine. So, like, yeah, I'm sorry, but I have to do it. I have to do this. Anyway.
No, yeah, you're right. No, I know you're right. You're always dead on about this stuff. I just, like, I was enjoying the fact that no one was, like, attacking you.
We had, like, a week and a half of just sheer joy. It was just... You just said today, look, there's no one in your mentions screaming at you.
Right.
I can't help myself. But no, the thing is, that's the thing. I kind of done all of that, like, and caused all that and taken all that heat for nothing. Just to turn around and say, oh, well, you know, I guess we could do something here, but, like, you know, I don't want to get trolled again. I think this is extremely important. I think we're in an extremely important nexus in history. So
you're very brave, and I have a lot of respect for you.
Yeah, but I know that you get it too. Like, I know that this is going to really affect you. But anyway. Last time, I promise. Anyway, so I've got a picture.
We'll circle back to that, yeah?
Yeah, we'll circle, yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's talk about the article that you've actually published first.
Okay. It's called, When a Government Declares a Verdict Before an Investigation, It's Because There's a Pre-Existing Agenda. Now, we talked a little bit about this in the podcast yesterday, yeah?
Yeah.
About how this should be, like, this should just raise... out a red flag for everyone when the verdict is declared before any evidence is in. It's like, whoa, hang on.
That's a little suspicious.
Who's trying to control the story here before the story is, you know, even gets a chance to build itself? So, and why are you doing that?
And why is it always the same culprit?
Yeah.
Why does the verdict with no investigation always trace back to the same guys?
They're really quite stupid, actually, when you just lay it out, like I did in this article. Like, just how can we keep believing them when when everything they come up with is, oh, look, bad thing happened. Guess what? We know who it was. No, you don't need to look. We can tell you it was Russia. Like, guess what, guys? Another bad thing's happened. Yeah. Don't freak out. We know who the perpetrator was. Guess who? Russia.
All these wildly disparate things that from Facebook ads to Syrian gas to an ex-spy being assassinated. Russia.
Right, yeah.
Always before any investigation has taken place, always without any evidence.
Always not allowed to look at the server. We'll just tell you did it.
Always coincidentally at the exact time where America is realizing that it's in a state of approaching a state of post primacy, where it needs to make some major things happen before, if it's not going to lose its, you know, dominance, when you got China and Russia working to subvert the hegemony of the U.S. dollar.
Also, it's also when, too, the U.S. people appear to be waking up to the tricks behind the scenes as well. Mm. It's like they're being found out at the same time as everything's kind of crumbling down. You know, it's like the curtain was pulled on the Wizard of Oz and stuff. But he still needs to keep, like, pumping the thing. Oh, I got to do the war. Look, put the curtain back. Because, you know, the American people are starting to see what's going on here and, like, how they've been suffering under this artificial kind of lack economy in order to pump money into these wars that benefit them not at all. And so it's all kind of crashing down in one. They do need to do this, and they need to do it, like, with as much commitment as possible. And oh my god, they are so committed to it.
Amazingly committed.
They really
laser pointed committed.
Yeah. So you know, the WikiLeaks drop that everyone's talking about? Turns out it was Russia.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, no, don't worry about looking for evidence about where that came from, because we can just tell you right now it's Russia. It's secret evidence. We know.
Secret
evidence. The secret evidence.
It's amazing how often that argument comes up. Well, they can't show you the evidence. It's secret. Bad things would happen if they showed us the evidence.
When does that even work on, like, kids? You know? I'm sorry, darling. I can't tell you that. That's a secret evidence. Yeah, the election.
Show me your. So you want this job? Show me your diploma. It's a secret diploma. Show me.
We should just have secret everything.
Let me see your badge, police officer.
Yeah, no.
This is a secret badge. Show me your warrant. Where else does that work?
Nowhere else in life.
When it comes to everything else except when it comes to the most important thing, when it comes to war, notably war and Cold War escalations with a nuclear superpower.
Right.
War with Syria. No. Can't. Secret.
Because then it's in the national interest to keep it secret. Of course it is. It's always in the national interest to take your country to war without any evidence.
Did you do your homework? Yeah. Let me see. You're not going to believe this, but secret evidence.
Anyway. So, yeah, that was that whole thing pretty much. Like, just all the different things that have boiled down to secret evidence in Russia.
Yeah, and you got that Wesley Clark video in there, General Wesley Clark.
Yeah.
The 7 wars in 5 years or whatever. And
right.
How Iraq was on there and Libya was on there. Syria was also on there.
Yeah.
And then finishing off with Iran, which you can tell they're still gearing up for. But he totally said the thing that is going to happen, and Iraq did happen. We didn't imagine that. It just happened.
That was all secret evidence.
Libya, off secret evidence. Yeah. Libya just happened. Same thing. It was a bullshit. Oh yeah, it's humanitarian. They're giving Viagra to the troops so they can all rape everyone because they just love rape, and we need to kill Gaddafi for that reason. And this humanitarian war, made for humanitarian reasons, caused the worst humanitarian crisis in the area. It's a fucking open air slave market with the torture and all kinds of terrorism and evil things happening. It's a failed fucking state. It's a humanitarian disaster that this humanitarian war created.
Right.
And yet, we need to attack Syria because guess what? Humanitarian reasons. Secret evidence. Humanitarianism and secret evidence.
It's really not funny, but I don't know what else to do.
Carlson, I don't know if you had a chance to watch the rest of the Carlson thing. I didn't either, but I watched some of it. He interviewed some guy, some Republican senator. His name, I don't remember, but he said, first he asked the guy, so why is it in America's interest to attack Syria? And the senator's answer was, well, Israel. This is the exact opposite of answering the question. If you care about Israel, you definitely got to attack Syria. God. And then Carlson, he dragged it back, and then it eventually ended up with him saying, the guy accused Carlson of being a Putin puppet, because that's just what you do now. That's normal. You can do that on national television. And then he said, wait, what happened? Carlson was like, so are you certain that this attack was done by Assad? And he said something like, have you seen evidence that this attack was done by Assad? And the senator said, well, I trust that Trump has access to the best information, and he's making it on this secret evidence. He's making his decisions based on, see, he didn't say secret evidence, but that's what he meant. He said he has access to information that we don't have, and he decided that it was Assad because of secret evidence.
But always, you know, there's layers of classification and stuff, and like, you know, everything's on a need-to-know basis and all of that. You can hide so much manipulation in all those layers, can't you?
What's that Assange quote? Where it's like, he says, virtually all of these documents that are hidden from the public in the name of national security are actually hidden in the name of political security.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And you know, the fact that he can, they have published tranches of documents, fully unredacted, and caused no loss of human life. You know, they pretend that this is all because, you know, they're trying to, for the sake of the children. It's all this humanitarian idea that we've got to keep some things secret to protect people's.
If we don't have secret things, then we can't have secret evidence. WikiLeaks. Do you remember we need the secret evidence? You're taking away our secret evidence.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why they don't like him. Poor bastard. So how long has he been without internet?
Fucking bullshit too long. I don't know. Weeks?
It's not weeks, but it'd be a week, wouldn't it?
At least. When was your thing with Susie and Kim.com and them?
Yeah, maybe. Look, let me look up his account.
It would have been
March 28th was his last tweet.
What's today?
Yeah, it is. It's April 10th, so it's...
Wow.
We're coming up on 2 weeks. Shit.
In just isolation. No visitors, no phone calls.
We don't know if he's even alive.
Like, yeah, they could, depending on how conspiratorial you want to get, there's not actually any, I guess... His lawyers are probably able to visit him, I would imagine.
Yeah.
They probably can't cut off his lawyers. And that would probably get out. I don't fucking know. This is so ridiculous, though.
Yeah, I feel really helpless about that.
Yeah, there's really no way to know if he's okay. It sucks. So yeah, there was that article. Did you want to say some more about the article you're working on now?
Yeah, well, because Cassandra Fairbanks, the right-wing...
She's a Nazi.
Nazi lady friend.
She's your Nazi friend.
Yeah.
Your alt-right Nazi friend.
Yeah, she's not Nazi or alt-right. Don't even joke, because...
Okay, but
get weird.
They are going to say that. She's a Nazi. I just saw that fucking Daily Beast guy that saying that she's a Nazi. so fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Fairbanks, for those of you who don't know, was behind the Fine Dancing Man project, where some internet trolls were picking on a fat guy for dancing around, and she and a bunch of famous hot chicks threw a party for him, and it was great, and everyone came, and it was just a real feel good moment. She's got a heart of gold. She's really great on WikiLeaks and Syria. She's a conservative, and she voted for Trump, but she's very opposed to Trump where it matters. She's been criticizing him harshly on his failure to pardon Assange, and she's unequivocally condemned his comments about Syria.
Yeah.
She's where it counts. She's an ally.
Right, and so she's been calling for people on the right to lay down the partisan politics for a week. She said, "I saw to one person, like just for a week.
Just try it.
Just try it for a week, so that we can stop this war.
See if getting outside your echo chamber gives you AIDS cancer."
Anyway, so she's putting herself out there to do this. So I thought, this is great. We'll do this.
Right, yeah. She's saying collaborate with left-wingers. She's been saying that for a while. She even said, I don't care. She had one thing where she was like, I don't care if it's Antifa, or if it's the right or Antifa putting on a war march. If there's a war march, you tell me, I'll come.
Right.
Antifa would not be nice to her, but she would still go.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is cool.
Okay, so here's what I might as well just say this. So here's what I'm nervous about with you publishing this, okay?
Okay.
We'll just include our listeners in this conversation that we normally have in private. And I know you're going to publish it anyway because you have to, and blah, blah, blah. But what I'm not looking forward to is all these fucking lefties saying that you're advocating collaborating with Nazis, and you love Nazis and Nazis and Nazi, because Nazis is the Russians of the far left.
Mm.
They'll say, you know, we don't need to collaborate across ideological lines to oppose war in Syria. We can oppose war in Syria on our own. And it's like, okay, that sounds wonderful. There's half as many likes and retweets, half as many upvotes on Reddit, half as large protests. Everything's split into these tiny things and given much less significance, much less chance of being amplified to the extent that it goes viral on Twitter, that it gets thrown into the mainstream and forces the mainstream propaganda machine to address it. So why not just keep fragmenting? Why not just keep fragment people like yourself? Throw get rid of left-wingers like yourself who don't mind associating with right-wingers. Get rid of left-wingers who don't have the exact right perspective on Israel. Get rid of left-wingers who don't have the exact right perspective on Bernie Sanders. Get rid of left-wingers who don't have the exact right take on the Green Party. Get rid of left-wingers who are you know, swerfs or turfs or the wrong kind of feminist or whatever. Get rid of all of them until everyone's just in this completely segregated little bubble echo chamber, liking their own tweets and completely impotent. You know, why not? Why stop there? Why not just completely segregate us all into our own completely individual impotent bubbles, if that's your approach?
Yeah. And they will. That's the thing. I mean, that's what I see. There are people who get this. They're natural collaborators. They're like, all right, I know how to get shit done. I'm an organizer. I know how to put on a fucking kindergarten teddy bear picnic, and I know how to put on a rally or whatever. I know how to get people over to a party. I know how to be in my family. I know how to get stuff done in my family. There are other people in life who are just honestly so fucking toxic they cannot stand to be around other people who, you know, don't agree with them on everything or aren't pretending to agree with them on everything. That's the other thing. Some people are so fucking toxic that you get to the point where they're like, the only people surrounding them are afraid to move. They're afraid to leave because this person will turn on them and you know, rake them over the coals and stuff and become their worst enemy. So it becomes this kind of Stockholm syndrome sort of thing. So some good people get lost that way too. But whatever. This is just pointless. This is actually a part of the whole fucking evolution of the human species. The tribalism has to end at some point. The tribalism is killing us. It is the tribalism that is the problem. It is the tribalism that they're using to wedge us. These assholes do not have an ideology. They are ideologically led. Like, they don't have a god. They just use these things to wedge us, and they wedge very effectively. And then you fucking cunts come along and wedge ourselves, like you do it to ourselves, for no other reason than you can't get over your own fucking ego, you know? So
yeah, they're like, oh, is this what you want us to do, oligarchs?
Right.
Is this like this? Just chop it up like that, huh?
Yeah.
That's what you want?
Yeah. So, look, yes, all right. But the thing is, they show themselves up every time. Every time they come and attack this thing, more and more of the people who are fucking sick of this have heard the siren call that we need to do something. We need to be acting right now. We can't be sitting around masturbating each other's fucking ideologies and waiting for the very day that we can, you know, bring to fruition our Marxist ideology in the exact right way that we have been hoping all our lives. You know, not that they would even know what to do if they got to that point anyway. They would not even know.
They're like a dog chasing cars. You don't know what you're going to do if you catch it.
Yeah, these are people, these are not visionaries, these are just people who like to be right. So, you know, every time this happens, every time they come at me about this, they show themselves up.
Mm.
And they show themselves up to be the sorts of people that you literally can't collaborate with.
I went and checked on a few of your most virulent haters recently just to see how they were reacting to the whole Syria thing and seeing if they were coming down as aggressively against this upcoming war as you are. They're all fucking babbling about right wingers and making fun of Laura Ingraham, and there's some stuff in there about the DNC. There are almost none of them are talking about Syria at all. Matters, they're completely worthless. They're just being right about transgender issues because Hey Hey Productions said something vaguely transphobic the other day.
Right.
Shit, really stupid shit like that.
Reminds me of 90s band t-shirts, you know?
Yeah.
It reminds me of I was a teenager in the 90s and everyone identified each other by their fucking band t-shirt. And it literally got to the point where some of my friends wouldn't let me talk to other friends because they had the wrong fucking band t-shirt on. I never understood that shit. I hate that crap, okay? Just because you like different music to me doesn't mean that I won't find you an interesting, you know, I won't have things in common with you. And this is like band t-shirt politics taken to the absolute fucking extreme. I cannot stand the snobbery. I cannot stand the ego. And I particularly feel sick that they're wanking each other like this when we are literally at a point in humanity where it is do or die time.
Mm.
Like, wow. Wow, people, you know, you thought you were going to do something with your life.
You get to be right on Twitter.
Yeah, right.
That's all you've done.
Right, yeah.
You get to feel right.
Oh, yeah, and they might get to be feeling right as a mushroom cloud builds over their town, you know?
Hopefully that gives them a nice warm feeling inside as they wait for the radiation to hit.
Yeah, well, at least I was right. God.
Yeah, but I mean, like, the benefits of cross-ideological collaboration are obvious. It's obvious from the fact that they're constantly trying to wedge, and nothing draws more organized vitriol than advocacy of uniting. You know, you talked in an article a while back how the American South wasn't originally segregated after slavery. There was years where it was not, and then the freed slaves, the poor blacks, started collaborating with the poor whites in the populist movement. And then all of a sudden, some rich fucker said, oh, no, we need to separate these guys. We cannot have any kind of integration happening. And they effectively killed that populist movement.
Yeah, and that is like a divide and conquer is a well-established and they're amazing at it.
Yeah, that's what that's what COINTELPRO was all about. It was about infiltrating activist groups and dividing them against each other. Wedge. You can be absolutely certain that is happening in online circles.
Yeah, you can be certain that there are some of these assholes who are coming after you right now. And when I say you, I mean our listeners. That they are that thing. But there's also some idiots who they've just built that way.
Yeah, followers.
Very effectively
programmed.
Or like mini Stalins, you know? Like just little mini egotists. Whose mama obviously never taught them how to play with other people. They're probably assholes at school too.
Yeah, probably. It's obvious in the way they're resisting any kind of unification of the people, and it's obvious just from the fact of the way social media works, the way things go trending. You know, it's much better to have 20,000 people talking about something than 10,000. 20,000 could be the number that it takes to launch something into the mainstream and get news stories about it and throw it up the ladder where people pay attention to it. And
yeah.
Whereas 10,000, it could be ignored.
Right. Well, virality works that way. It's like if it doesn't, if you look at a graph of something that's gone viral, it has an extremely quick ascent, and it builds very, very fast on itself. Like it doesn't slowly.
Yeah, things don't slowly become viral.
They do not slowly become viral, and then they peak, and then they drop off immediately, almost. Like they don't just kind of peak down either. It's a peak thing, and that actually happens when you have a great surge of numbers quickly, because then the algorithms pick up and say, "Oh, this is trending fast," and then they put it around everywhere. So numbers are important. Numbers are key.
Yeah, and you know, like reading through all the comments about your Tucker Carlson share, which had, you know, like hundreds of comments, hundreds of shares, hundreds of likes and stuff on Twitter. Reading through all those, wow, I can't believe I agree with Tucker Carlson. Those are dozens and dozens and dozens of lefties who are basically admitting that if I wasn't following this Caitlin Johnston gal who doesn't mind sharing across ideological spectrums, I never would have seen this.
Yeah,
that exactly. Never would have happened. I never would have been punching this into virality. Tucker Carlson, by the way, trending on Twitter right now.
Right.
Because that was able to cross the ideological gap and get a lot of people talking.
Yeah. And that was, that wasn't thanks to the pursed-lipped lefty who will not speak to anyone except their own.
No, but they got to be right on Twitter in their tiny little echo chamber.
Yeah, just wankers. Fucking elitist wankers. Anyway, it's all about elitism, really, isn't it? It's like, you know, elitism in the tiny little pockets, you know, they're destroying movements, and elitists in the people who have all the big money and stuff, and how they choose to use it to...
We need a populist movement. We need which is in opposition to elitism, really.
Yeah.
And you need, if we want to get like actual war protests on the streets, if this happens the way it looks like it's going to happen, and we'll need that. We'll need people who aren't afraid to interact with real human beings.
Right. Yeah. Let's do it.
Shall we wrap?
Yep.
Caitlin is an entirely reader and listener-supported journalist, so if you want to support Caitlin's daily podcasts and articles, the best way to do that is via Patreon and PayPal. Links in the description. Follow Caitlin on Medium, on Steemit, or on CaitlinJohnston.com especially, where you can get a email notification if you get on her mailing list whenever she publishes an article. You can also buy Caitlin's book, Woke, A Field Guide for Utopia Preppers, if you want to throw her some additional support. You have been listening to Going Rogue.
Shine on, people.
Thanks, y'all.
Katie, oh, Katie, who are you pissing off now? Katie, oh, Katie, your words are making them howl. You're trying to spread truth, but they don't want to hear it, and we don't think that's right. Keep talking, Katie, oh, Katie, who are you pissing off now? Shady, they're so shady, they're lying straight to our face. But maybe, oh, maybe, the truth they'll finally embrace. But the man on the TV says you're batshit crazy, and they paint you as a fool. Keep fighting, Katie, oh, Katie, who are you pissing off now? We love you, Katie, oh, Katie, keep speaking truth to power. We've got your back, so don't cower. Our pretty Aussie flower. Love you, girlfriend.